It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.
Okay, quick. Anyone listening to this, tell me where the Farm to Fork capital is. If you guessed Sacramento, you guessed right. And somebody that's playing an important role in getting that story out is my guest today on Farm to Table Talk. I want to welcome Mike Testa. Mike's the president and CEO of Visit Sacramento. Mike, you got some explaining to do. Welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate you having me.
When people hear that Sacramento is the Farm to Fork capital, a whole lot of questions come up.
Sure.
Like, who chose you? You went out and claimed that title of Farm to Fork. Tell me that story. How did this come to be?
Yeah, it's interesting. A local restaurateur called me, and literally the conversation went, Mike, we should be America's Farm to Fork capital. And I said, Josh, why do you say that? And he explained to me why he thought that that made sense for the destination. And so I hung up, and you know, we did our research. We started looking at, can we make this claim? Is this a legitimate, authentic identity for Sacramento? And very quickly we realized that it was. You know, the research showed that there's more than 1.5 million acres of active farmland. There's more than 160 different crops coming out of the ground. We've got a year-round growing cycle. So while a lot of cities are certainly farm to fork in different ways, and you know, you can go to Chicago or pick a city in this country and they'll have a farm to table restaurant, the difference is how they grow it. And the best way I can describe this to you, I was in Washington, D.C. a couple years ago. I was snowed in, staying in an airport hotel, looking outside at 14 feet of snow, and I'm looking at their visitor guide, and on the cover is this chef holding this bounty of produce in his arms and this farm to table declaration. And I'm looking at it thinking, where are you growing all this produce? Because there's 14 feet of snow outside, and I realize it's greenhouses and it's different ways of growing things, which certainly, you know, these are legitimate products, but from a farm to fork standpoint, a traditional on a farm product, you need that year-round growing cycle that you get in Sacramento and that you get in California. So again, as we looked at other people across the country, what was happening here was very different.
You know, you remind me that when I've been back in the Midwest sometimes, and they were just getting started on having some of their, trying to have a farmer's market, this might be 20 years ago or so, and I went to a parking lot where they had some tables up and they were selling produce, and I went behind the pickup truck, and the boxes were all from California.
Right.
Now, you know, I want to hasten to say that they are all catching up. And it's, they're not having to get everything from California. They're doing a wonderful job across the country right now. But get back to this. Let me ask you another basic question here, because we are farm to table talk.
Right.
And then there's farm to fork. Why'd you choose farm to fork? You could have chosen farm to table.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was, frankly, that when we looked across the country, people described it as farm to table, and we wanted to be a little bit different. We wanted to stand out. And certainly, we're not the only ones who say farm to fork, but we felt it was a little bit, it wasn't used quite as much. Obviously, the same definition between the two terms, but we felt that farm to fork was a great descriptor of this region, primarily because, you know, we look at the restaurants here, and I asked this question of Patrick Mulvaney when we started. He's a local chef. I said, Patrick, which restaurants here are farm to fork? And he looked at me and said, all of them. That's how we source food in this region. So the restaurant, we have a restaurant behind our building here, and throughout the day you'll see, you know, a Honda Civic pull up with a crate of produce that goes in the back of the restaurant. It's not a big giant semi. They're buying directly from the farmers, and much of what is on your plate that day was purchased that morning from the farmer. So this idea of farm to fork, it's going directly to your fork, we thought was really relevant and a good descriptor, again, for Sacramento.
Well, and you're right. I think of farm to fork and farm to table almost interchangeably.
Yeah.
And so I was, now that we have farm to table talk, we have it in part because that was available as a website, so
right,
we could get the name, you know, farm to table talk. And I thought, well, what I'm trying to do, though, and one difference is that what we're trying to do is have table talk as if we're sitting around a table, as we are,
which we are, yes,
sitting around a table and having a conversation, and that people could listen to it and say, well, I want to join in. You know, one thing that intrigues me on this is that you really were farm to fork in this region, mm-hmm, before it was fashionable. And I'm wondering, when these chefs, you know, that like that had the conversation with you and say we might be able to create this, I wonder how much that was consumer driven, that you know, if you go back to the origin, do you have a feel for that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, to your point, this region has been farm to fork for well over a century. Again, the climate hasn't changed. It's always had that year-round growing cycle. And when the region was settled in the gold rush of 1849, certainly a lot of folks coming from San Francisco, this is where gold was discovered. And so a lot of it started then, and a lot of that fertile land was happening then. My great-grandfather immigrated from Portugal and was growing lima beans in the 1940s and 50s. He was known as the Lima Bean King of California. So the heritage on agriculture here goes back forever. And I think, you know, the challenge has been educating some of the consumers. You mentioned farmers market. We've got more than 40 farmers markets in this region. Many of them are year round. And it's just how we shop. It's how you buy produce. Mm-hmm. But I think if you don't live here, or you do live here and move away, you start to appreciate it differently. My parents moved to the East Coast, and her biggest complaint was the produce section of the grocery store, because she was used to Sacramento. She was used to California. And it's just, we're very spoiled. And I think a lot of people don't realize that, because it's just how it is here.
Well, you know, you mentioned the farmers markets. So of 40 some farmers markets that are available, so every day you can go someplace.
Yes.
And within the whole metro area. Now, the metro area, too, is, what, a couple million people in this metro area?
Yeah, about 1.5.
One and a half million,
yeah,
in the metro area. But the other thing that strikes me when you were saying that is that even though we have these farmers markets, when you go to the supermarkets, which are really nice, and there's all kinds of supermarkets here as well, they feel compelled to put the farmer stories in there.
Well, I think it's very similar to what, you know, Chef Mulvaney said. That's how the grocery stores source here too. And we went out to a farm about 2 years ago, and they showed me a product called black watermelons, which I'd never seen before. It was Vieira Farms, and they talked to us how they grow them. And that night, I'm in our local grocery store, Raley's, and there on display are black watermelons from Vieira Farms. So again, the produce that
it said the farms too. Did it have
it? Did say
sign?
Yeah, it had a sticker on it. And so, you know, I think part of what this movement, this farm to fork movement, has done here is, it's encouraged the grocery stores to talk about where they're sourcing. It's encouraged the restaurants to list on their menu where the farm is that they source this asparagus. And oftentimes it's, you know, 15 minutes away. And for my business, which is recruiting conventions and visitors, our convention center sources their food from local farmers. So we make sure that when a convention is in town, they know that the food was sourced locally in this market.
Well, and there's also a farm-to-school movement, too, isn't there? I mean, that are involved in either showing demonstration farms or growing some food on the campuses, or also sourcing locally as well.
We've got a number of grade schools, junior highs, and high schools that have significant size farms on their schools. These aren't, you know, let's grow two patches here of something. This is multiple products, teaching the kids how to grow this. There's one school in the district that's got a lot of land that they're farming on. They've got a greenhouse on campus. So again, part of that is the luxury of being in this region with that climate. But part of it is because there's so much farming in the region. You know, there's concern of, are we backfilling? Is the next generation of farmers being prepared to take over the land? And that is some of the concern that, you know, some of these five generation farms, the sixth generation may not want to be farmers. And so there's some concern, because it's such a big part of our economy, to ensure that we keep that going.
I'm trying to think of the last time I went to a restaurant here that didn't have farmers' names on the blackboard or printed on a menu. I mean, obviously, there are some of the fast food chains that don't, although if you ask, they'll have a brochure or something telling about their sourcing strategies, because almost all of them feel compelled to, if it's not local, it's at least sustainable.
Yeah.
So do you feel in your messages of what you're seeing, do you see the sustainable question addressed as well?
We do. You know, look, we've got a lot of very mindful people in this region, and this idea of Sacramento being America's farm to fork capital, we don't take lightly. It can't just be about that we throw a really good food festival. Mm-hmm. It has to be that we're talking about food sourcing, that we're talking about foodborne illnesses, that we're talking about childhood obesity and diabetes and some of these other things that are food driven. Because we're the state capital, the lawmakers are in our city. And so there's great opportunity to influence. And one of the things we've talked about, you know, as Sacramento goes, California goes. As California goes, the nation often follows, and often the world follows the nation. So there's great opportunity in Sacramento to change the conversation about mm-hmm. food. And again, we want people to think, and this is another Mulvaney quote, when people think of food, when they think of farming, when they think of food recycling, anything related to that, we want their second question to be, what do they think about this in Sacramento? And so in order to do that, we need to make sure that we have the experts in place and that we're initiating these conversations.
Well, you plugged Mulvaney a couple times already, so
I know.
We should go ahead. They're a great restaurant. Patrick Mulvaney and Bob Mulvaney have one of the outstanding restaurants here, and they've got stories on all of the food that comes to their restaurant, and as other restaurants are too. So it is exciting. And the other thing I think about as we're talking about this is how much you bring consumers along. You know, it's one of these things that that people like that chef originally was saying, hey, let's recognize what we got.
Right.
But then after a while, there's enough of that, then I would think that you do have the level of awareness by the consumers keep getting a little higher and higher.
What's interesting is we've got a water tower on the freeway next to Sacramento, and it used to say, welcome to the City of Trees. Welcome to Sacramento, the City of Trees. And we had it painted a couple years ago to say, welcome to Sacramento, America's Farm to Fork Capital. You would have thought that we were going door to door and confiscating liquor from people because the outrage that we had painted this water tower away from the City of Trees.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a pretty easy explanation. When we explained it, people understood. And the explanation is there are 30 cities across the world, including 6 in California, that identify as the City of Trees. And surely we are worthy of an identity that we don't share with 29 other cities. I had one woman call me, and I'm not kidding, Roger. I had death threats on my voicemail because we painted this thing.
Yeah.
And one woman called me, and she was almost in tears. And she said, you know, that has been on the water tower my entire life, and you just erased it. And I said, you sound a lot older than you are. And she said, what is that supposed to mean? I said, well, it's been up there since 2006, and you sound older than 14. But I think there was this incorrect assumption with locals that, no, we're the City of Trees. And the reality is, we are still the City of Trees, just as we're still the River City and the City of Saloons and everything that we were as part of our heritage. But what we do better and differently than the rest of the country is grow food. And it would make a lot of sense to lead with that from an identity standpoint, which is what we're doing.
So that fact, the fact that you've claimed that identity, you're promoting that identity, one of the goals has to be that more people want to visit then, right?
Yeah.
As a result of it. So they're going someplace that is a food center. I'm trying to think where else people do that.
Well, I'll give you an example. Austin, Texas.
Sure.
They named themselves the live music capital of the world.
That's right.
They were able to do that because music has been a part of Austin since the 20s and before that. We followed the same path. Look, Sacramento named ourselves America's Farm and Fork Capital, just as Austin did with live music. But we were able to do that because it's real, because it's authentic, just as Austin is. So when people think of Austin, they think of live music, they think of fun, and it makes the destination attractive. The difference is, not everybody likes live music, but everybody eats. And so there's not a demographic that we can't target. And there's a lot of great food cities in this country. And we are certainly a good food city, and we're producing a lot of the food.
Name a couple.
Obvious one, Chicago, New York, San Francisco.
Okay.
You know, there's these great destinations. New Orleans. But you look at some of the smaller cities. Portland is doing amazing things with food. Austin is doing amazing things with food. And the difference for us is, you know, there's talented chefs everywhere, but what we're finding is chefs are moving here because of the access to food, because of the freshness of sourcing locally.
You know, the other thing that strikes me as you're saying that is in some areas, it's like the food trucks are really showing an interest in food, too.
Right.
It's not that people are having to go sign up for a $200 tasting menu. I mean, that they may go spend, you know, $6.50 for a Korean taco. You know, with kimchi and whatever else.
Right.
So a city like Los Angeles is so big, it's got all of these sort of the Anthony Bourdain sort of places that are street food. And you've got that too.
We absolutely do. Yeah. And I think it would have been hard for us to make this claim 15 years ago because we didn't have the restaurant scene. Now we do. To your point, we've got some incredible food trucks in the region and we've all eaten at food trucks, and I think, you know, I can remember the first time I approached one. I was used to kind of the roach coach that I had when I was doing construction jobs, and I was going to buy a hard-boiled egg. But these food trucks are as good as restaurants. I mean, the quality of the food is incredible. So it's something that we've really pushed from a food scene. Not only do we have a lot of these food trucks at our events, but we've got the, you know, the traditional brick and mortar restaurants that are doing incredibly well. And again, it's impossible to make this claim if we didn't have the restaurant scene to back it up.
So you got the farms, you've got the product, you've got the weather, you've got the restaurants, you got the stores, you got the food trucks, you got the schools that are plugged into it, and then people are coming here because you've got that vibe. So how do they experience that? I mean, so if they're going to say, okay, we're going to have a convention, or we're going to go some area, Sacramento, that's kind of cool, let's go to the Farm to Fork. How do you capitalize on that? How do you capitalize on drawing people in to experience this Farm to Fork environment we have here?
You know, some of it is just the maturation of the market. We look at the Golden One Center, which is where the NBA's Kings play in downtown Sacramento. It's different than every other arena in the country in the sense that they source 90% of the food in that building from within 150 miles of Sacramento. Mm-hmm. There's no other arena in the country doing that because there's no other arena in the country that can do that. And so when we add all these things together of the package, again, when you think of Austin, there's live music, but there's also running trails and food and everything else. In Sacramento, when we add those things together, the destination becomes that much more appealing. So we do a couple of things. When we're at trade shows trying to recruit conventions, we've brought chefs with us to our booth, and we've had them cooking with local produce. We've talked about doing a pop-up farmers market in different destinations to, again, showcase the food that we have here. So I think as the public gets more and more educated on food, destinations like Sacramento become more appealing because, you know, the reality is there's a lot of millennials that have never set foot in fast food restaurants because they're very conscious of the food that they eat. That bodes well for a destination like Sacramento because we are about healthy food and locally sourced and buying directly from the farmers. And again, I think for a long time, Sacramento was scared to be an ag town, scared to be defined as a cow town.
It's called like sack of tomatoes.
Sack of tomatoes, right. And I think people ran from that a little bit. But yeah. Again, you have to embrace what you do better than anybody else, and that's agriculture.
Now, one way you embrace it is you throw a really big party every year.
We do.
And it's called the Farm to Fork Festival?
Correct.
Describe what happens at a Farm to Fork Festival.
So we've got more than a half a mile of programming on what's called Capitol Mall. It's backdropped by the Capitol Building in Sacramento and the Tower Bridge behind it. We've got about 140 different vendors. We've got five different stages. Four of those stages are cooking demonstration stages. One is a music stage. We've got kids.
You have a podcast stage. Sure.
Yes, we do. We do have a podcast stage, correct. We've got local beer and wine. I think last year we had 30 different beers on tap, all from the market. We've got 200 different varietals of local wine that's grown here. Kids areas, great food, food trucks, restaurants. We've got a Ferris wheel this year. So it's a celebration of this region. It's, you know, the best part of the festival, and we had about 65,000 people come last year. It's free. We don't charge people to come. We, again, want to share the experience and what's special about Sacramento.
Well, there's an event associated with it, too, that is the same weekend, I think, that you do a dinner on this bridge, and people aren't familiar with Sacramento. There's a bridge that goes over into kind of West Sacramento, crosses a river, and on the bridge itself, you actually stage a dinner, right?
We do. So we run a farm table down the bridge and do an intimate dinner for about 800 people. We build a kitchen just off the bridge, so this is a restaurant-quality meal. We're not bringing this stuff in warmers, and, you know, what's really cool about this event is it's this great collaboration between all the restaurants. We have 130 different servers from restaurants across the region. We've got five lead chefs from five different restaurants. This year we've brought in Chef Jeremiah Tower from Chez Panisse and Stars in San Francisco to lead the effort for us. We've got appetizers from probably 15 different restaurants. Again, it's this celebration of Sacramento. It's bringing the community together. It's very fitting that the bridge straddles two cities and two counties because this is about bringing the community together. And it's done very well for us in a lot of ways.
Well, and Jeremiah Tower is quite a celebrity himself. And in fact, I think he lives in Mexico now.
So he does.
He's like running up here to do this. And so how's he getting all these chefs to do what he wants to have done?
It's interesting. You know, I wondered that when we first started talking because he doesn't live here. But we flew him in. So he met with the chefs initially and they kind of laid out the vision. They do a conference call about every other week. And what's been fascinating for me to watch, you know, a little bit from afar is Chef Tower is absolutely in charge. He is doing nuances on the menu. He's talking about how things are laid out. He saw the pictures of kind of the trial run and said, we need to tweak this, 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 and this. He's in charge. And what's great is the chefs all have such great respect for him that everybody is taking his direction very well.
What was the film that he was? It was a documentary about
The Last Magnificent. It was an Anthony Bourdain produced film.
It was great.
Yeah.
It is really great. So people should look. Is it Netflix? They can find it.
It is on Amazon Netflix. Or? Yeah. It's the story of his life, and it's a fascinating story.
So when you get a chef like that, who is known all over the world, and he's coming up, and he probably doesn't need the job,
no.
And so he has to feel some commitment and some feeling about Sacramento. What does he say after he's been getting the feel for what you're doing here in Sacramento?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that question, because he said something the first time he and I spoke that almost brought tears to my eyes. He said, after I worked in Berkeley with Chez Panisse and in San Francisco, I quickly came to realize that Sacramento is the epicenter of food. To hear that from somebody like Chef Tower, because he knew what he was sourcing from this region. And look, we talk about some of the things that catch people off guard. If you eat sushi anywhere in this country, 99% of the sushi rice in the U.S. comes from Sacramento. 80% of the nation's domestic...
Oh, slow down a minute. I never thought about that before,
yeah.
But 99% of the sushi rice
comes from the Sacramento region. So if you eat sushi in Maine or Texas, the rice came from here.
Wow.
80% of the nation's domestic caviar comes out of Sacramento.
Now, those are pretty unlikely things.
Exactly.
Because people think of Sacramento and the Central Valley as being a hot, dry place, and California needs more water all the time.
Right.
So how is that a viable industry that to be able to produce rice and be sustainable in this part of the world?
You know, a lot of it is, and water is the key here, obviously, with rice. It's been going on for a long, long time in this region, and so there's an area called the Causeway that separates Davis and Sacramento, and there's rice fields surrounding the Causeway. And my wife used to work for the California Rice Commission, so she's educated me on all this. They have drains set up in the land there to be able to water and drain appropriately. So to your point, we've had some tough years with drought. We haven't had the rain that we needed, but because it's such a huge industry here and because it is literally feeding the rest of the world, it's something that we've made sure we water and grow.
Well, and literally, they make the ducks happy.
Right? Yeah, right, right.
The migratory birds coming through here, so you get the environmentalists
yep.
very happy with some of that program too. Well, it's an interesting dynamic, and it's one that you know, you're staking a lot. You're going to have another angry people for painting their water tower if this thing doesn't work.
Right.
So if you know, if you're looking at what you've done, you look at this journey, you look at what's happening in the area, and you've declared it to be, you know, the Farm to City Capital. What gives you reason to be optimistic that this has legs, that this is something that, you know, 5 or 10 years from now, mm-hmm. it's got it's as strong as ever or even stronger?
I think the biggest indication to us thus far has been the national media that, you know, Sacramento was named by the Wall Street Journal as one of the top 5 mid-sized cities in the country for food. 5 years ago, that wouldn't have happened, and the Wall Street Journal wouldn't have declared that had it not been true. You know, we're getting coverage from the New York Times about our food scene. Fox News National did a story on agriculture, and they interviewed local tomato farmers. So we've become a source for local media, which, again, they're proving the point for us. And I can jump up and down all day and say, hey, we're America's Farm to Fork Capital. But when national media and other thought leaders across the country are saying it, well, it gives a lot more credibility to it. And that's I think, what's made us optimistic that, you know, people have said to me, this is just some BS marketing gimmick. Mm-hmm. A gimmick is a lie. This is not a lie. This is authentic and true. And, you know, I think for us, there's a couple of great features. But the biggest one is that community pride of making people that live in this region proud that we grow the food that feeds so much of the country. That's a really great thing to have in your hometown. And the more of that information gets out, the more people will visit here, which, again, is great for our economy.
You know, it would be great for this economy, and it's going to be great for other economies as well. And I wonder, what do you do when somebody says, I'm in, you know, somewhere in Canada or somewhere else, and I wish we could do some of this. You know, we don't necessarily want to try to battle you to be the, you know, the Farm to Fork Capital ourselves, but we want to do it in our community. What do you tell when people reach out to you and say, how do we get ourselves on this journey?
I think a lot of it is finding your authenticity, finding your authentic story. You know, we do a big mural festival in Sacramento, a big art painting on the side of walls. And somebody said to me, well, do we have the artists to do that? Yes, there are talented artists in every city in this country, on this planet. And it's a matter of telling the story. And I think the same thing goes for food. There are talented chefs everywhere. There are people who are farming indoors. There are people who are farming outdoors. And what really sells these stories and what really makes them true is finding the people doing the work. You know, one of the things we've tried to push in this story is the migrant farm workers in this region. They are a huge part of Farm to Fork in Sacramento, and they weren't, their story wasn't being told. So, you know, it's not about the white linen tablecloth restaurants. It's about the local pizza place that's sourcing their tomatoes locally to make their pizza sauce. That's what makes these stories credible, that's the everyman, the things that you and I live every day that make us the place that we are.
And, you know, we haven't even talked about the what goes around that plate necessarily, because you're going to have your selections of beer are a lot better than ever. Your selections of wine are incredible. And you've got some wonderful coffee shops here that are sourcing coffee beans and roasting them locally. And so I'm just wondering, well, slightly wider than the plate and certainly wider than the fork. Do you reach out to all of these developing new craft breweries and the wineries locally too, and even these coffee roasters that you've got, that they're a part of this as well?
Yeah, it's interesting. When we first started, you know, we got calls from some of the surrounding cities saying, we're doing all this great stuff with agriculture and food, and we've not heard from you. And my response was typically, I don't know who you are. I mean, you clearly know that we're doing this, and you called me, and I'm thankful that you did, but this is a platform for everybody. And it's, you know, to your point, we're not growing coffee here, but we are having our coffee roasters buy directly from farmers, and they know what they're buying. And I think what Farm to Fork has done is challenge the chefs to make sure that they are sourcing from places that they know where the food is coming from. So it's not just placing an order, it's getting to know the people who are sourcing, you know, building your menu for you. And I think that's been great, that chefs are competitive, and so they do try to outdo each other on buying local and making sure that they can tell the story of where food comes from.
Well, that's exciting. You widen the plate. You've got these beverages. You've got the local production, and you've got people. I know for sure that some of these craft brewers are sourcing some more and more of their grains. You know that they know where the grains are coming from,
right.
The hops and the barley,
and some are growing the hops locally.
Oh. And you got the grapes, obviously, for the wineries that aren't too far away too. So all of that's happening. And one more thing, one more piece of synergy that it struck me that you were saying that you have these art painted on the buildings. Like there's like a 4-story Johnny Cash downtown now.
He's 17 stories.
17-story yeah. Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison. And it's unbelievable.
Painted by Shepard Fairey, the guy who did the Barack Obama Hope poster. It's an incredible piece of art.
It really is. It stops me every time, and I have come close to running a light there on L Street when I go by it. But, you know, then that just kind of reminds me there's on the horizon here, there's a nexus of artisans and artists.
Yes.
And because I look at what these chefs are doing here, they're so creative, and these farmers, they're into their craft and they're into artisans and artisanal and so forth. And the fact that the art community, too, there's this creative nexus that just seems to keep getting closer and closer, because what we're going to enjoy on the bridge is, in fact, art itself, too.
It is. And I think that's one of the things we've been very fortunate about. Again, I don't know that it's like this in other cities, but the collaboration between these folks has been really gratifying to watch. And you mentioned wine. Most people, when they think of California wine, think of Napa and Sonoma. And the reality is we've got 200 wineries within, you know, 25, 40 minutes of Sacramento, including some international brands. And so all those people are at the table for the conversation, and all those people have input. And, you know, one of the things that we've heard from different chefs is the larger the umbrella, the more people can stand underneath it. And so that's something that we've really pushed. Again, Mulvaney's pushed that. Sellins has pushed that. It's how many people can we get to the table to make sure that we're getting everybody's voice when we make our decisions? And that is shown in the final product.
You know, one other thing that shows, Mike, is that you're enthusiastic about this. You're excited. And it's nice to see something like this happening. It's good to see people that are getting charged up about what they're doing. You clearly are.
You know, it's one of those things that started as a conversation and it's grown into so much more. And I will tell you, to be able to host a festival with 65,000 people and to see strollers and kids and everybody running around, have a good time. And then to see the narrative on Sacramento change, to see national media, you know, talking about our food scene and talking about what we're influencing and what the impact is on the local community. It's cool. It's nice to see that the work you put in, you know, has some benefit.
So, Mike, just in wrapping up, if there are farmers and consumers and people that might come here and maybe in competing cities, they want to know more about it, where do they find you online?
So farmtofork.com gives you a pretty good history of what we're doing with Farm to Fork. Visitsacramento.com also has kind of general visit information. And, you know, you can email me directly. I'm at mtesta@visitsacramento.com, and we'd love to hear from folks. We do get calls throughout the year of other cities asking for advice and help, and we're happy to give it.
I tell you what, you don't get that offer very often, putting yourself out there personally. And I think there's a few people listening. We've got people listening all over the country, but all over the world. We've got some people that it surprises me sometimes. They may show up.
Yeah, great.
Well, Mike Testa, I really appreciate your being on Farm to Table Talk.
My pleasure. Thank you, Roger.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.